This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
That's right, it's me, and I could be your host if you were, you know, super interested in that happening and having, you know, if you wanted to hear a voice more like, hey, welcome to the podcast, it's Jazzy Jay. Like, that would, if that would be more pleasant to your ear holes, like when the podcast started, you could just head over to patreon.com/popcornculture and just sign up for the Jazzy J tier. That would be that, you know, that would solve your problems for you.
I suspect
is a big problem.
I suspect you had everybody totally on the line and they were like, yes, completely. Mm-hmm. This sounds amazing. And yeah. You said ear holes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what they are.
It's true. It's true. You know, it's funny how to me it's like, you know, sometimes there's like words that make people uncomfy, like moist or something like that, you know? But then it's like neither the word ear nor hole is uncomfortable, but when placed together,
you put them right next to each other, they're not so great.
Shudderific.
It reminds me in the third Ant-Man movie, there's this like blob character who's like obsessed with the number of holes people have, and he's like, you know, he's asking Scott how many holes he has, and all of a sudden they cut to Paul Rudd's face and you can see him like counting, and then someone else like fills it in and is like, you have seven, and he's like, and then what's funny is that you can see everyone in the audience suddenly be like,
seven.
Yeah, and you're like, they didn't count the eye holes, right?
Do they not count eye holes?
I don't think they counted eyes.
Okay, all right.
You can take my word for it.
Okay, everybody's now
now everyone at home is like, wait, how many holes do I have?
We gotta move on.
This is how we go. Okay, we can move on. Ben, can I register a complaint?
Please do. Please do. What a great way to start the episode.
Yeah, I would like to register a complaint with Disney classic animated movie Aladdin.
Okay.
Yeah, look. All right. Look, we've made a bunch of theories about Aladdin over here on the SCB, and we've pointed out a ton of plot holes, but this morning I was thinking about it, and you know what the real super duper plot hole in Aladdin is?
Let me think. Genie owes Aladdin a wish.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. That's a huge one. See our published works.
you can see it, but
the giant plot hole in Aladdin is that Aladdin's superpower is that he is extremely charismatic and very good at talking to people.
Yeah.
Like, that's his superpower. That's how he wins the fight against Jafar, who's in like full-blown evil villain mode. He's like, hey, I know what you would want even more than this, and that's even more power. Da 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 da. Like, he sells Jafar on slavery. You know what I mean?
Wait, explain that to me.
Like, he convinces Jafar to become a genie, which enslaves him to the lamp. Jafar to voluntarily enroll in his own enslavement.
Right. It's true. It's like Aladdin. What Aladdin has, like, he's completely unarmed versus, like, basically, like, this almighty, godlike, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Genie.
Yeah.
He's not even a genie yet, though. What is he before he's the genie?
He's like just like ultimate, the most powerful sorcerer in the world.
Yeah. And he gets like really big, right?
Yeah. He gets really big. He's already basically got all of the powers anyway, except that the genie gave him the powers.
Right. So yeah. I think the complaint that you're lodging is effectively, it's like, how does Aladdin have so much charm and charisma and sort of like street know-how and like everything to do with like, you know, like he, even like the opening songs, like it seems like there are like he's well known amongst the like the
they all know
like
him
the street
everyone,
merchants
everyone in like, Agrabah seems to know who he is already,
right? Like he's kind of got his own like little like layer of notoriety.
Yeah, he's got a little like he's got like a reputation about him. So the plot hole is that I just find it hard to believe that Aladdin couldn't find employment of any kind at all.
Well, and that's the thing, it's like, because I wonder if like maybe the issue is that like what it's like in this world. Like, I wonder if like that charm and charisma or something is like maybe there's just like not a like a career path.
There's
that,
not a career
would,
path.
That would adequately.
There's a whole street of merchants where people are trying to sell people stuff.
I know, but I mean, you gotta have a way to begin selling your wares.
Yeah, I mean,
you need some startup. Startup
I mean,
investor.
I'm not saying he even needs to start his own business. Someone just needs to pay him to sell their melons. Or something, you know? Yeah. Like he needs to be out there pitching people on the street. I don't know, you know. He's got this. He's like this super likable, these chosen one vibes, literally by the Cave of Wonders, which is another. That's a whole plot hole unto itself.
Well, yeah, tell me more about that plot hole.
The plot hole with the Cave of Wonders, Ben, is that not only do you need to track down both halves of the scarab, unite them together, chase them into the desert, but then you have to awaken from the slumber the Cave of Wonders, who says only the chosen one may enter. So like, why is there this path only the diamond in the rough may enter, basically,
right?
So like, what is the point of having a thing that leads you to the cave if anyone other than the diamond in the rough assembles the scarab, you know?
And this feels like one of those things too, like where it's like anybody who is the diamond in the rough is not the kind of person who has sought out the scarab in the first place.
Right.
And that to me is probably like the piece of like the, like if it is intended to be discovered, it is almost required that part of the discovery of the Cave of Wonders is on behalf of, it's almost like the Cave of Wonders is more like a trap, you know, kind of like a hole that's been dug in the jungle,
right?
With like,
it's like grass,
real,
it's like a real mirror of Erised situation,
right?
Like
right,
only
yeah.
The only someone could find it, but only someone who wasn't looking for it.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
So like Aladdin would never be looking for the Cave of Wonders
because
but only he could enter it.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's hard. It's hard to be seeking out.
It is literally this exact situation.
Yeah.
Because like Harry would never go to the mirror to try and find the stone. A bad guy has to bring him to it, to the mirror of wonders.
That's true. The mirror of wonders.
Oh my gosh. Harry is Aladdin. Boy, we're getting all sorts of theory fodder here, man.
I know.
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, the other
he
one
also doesn't have parents. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Does he get to use? I mean, I was gonna say, does he get magic wishes? He does get magic.
That's a good point.
How does
turns out Aladdin and Harry Potter are the same story.
Turns out they're the same thing. You know, Aladdin has a monkey. Harry has an owl. Roughly the same creature. You know.
Everybody says it's like really monkeys and owls. Like I mean, they're like one hair away from being the same creature.
I mean, there's no doubt about it, right? What
it's the beak. It's the beak.
It's the beak, right? Yes. Yeah. What is an owl but not a winged monkey with a beak?
Right. Oh my!
Everyone's
gosh.
Watching Wizard of Oz. They're like, "Wow, wasn't it great when all the owls attacked?" You're like, "Owls, sorry, flying monkeys."
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean. They're the same. They're the interchangeable.
Right.
Aladdin is Harry Potter confirmed. Also, the genie owes him a wish.
Also, I mean, I also have always felt like this was like one of those theories that I think I either stumbled across or something along the way, but like it's the idea that you were not sold on this theory. I feel like I was onto it for like such a long time and you were so not onto it, but the idea was just basically that like at the end of Aladdin, they take Jafar's lamp and like heave it off into the distance, you know?
Yeah.
And then
10,000 years or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Should be plenty of time to like cool down or something. And then like when Genie is like first awakened from the lamp, he's sort of like, man, 10,000 years will really give you a crook in the neck. And so the idea is that like Aladdin's like time traveling, and it's just basically like the story is like re-unfolding over and over and over again. And Genie is just the former Jafar who had gone from red and cooled down to blue, and like basically it's just like, oh, okay, all right.
Right, like he's just gone completely bonkers inside the lamp.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's totally fine as long as you don't count like the return of Jafar. As long as you don't, canon.
Yeah, right. Was that straight to VHS?
Yeah.
Then I have no issues. I have no issues. You know whatsoever. What?
That's good, because if you count the King of Thieves, then also he doesn't owe him a wish eventually, because he does marry Jasmine and officially become a prince.
Ah.
You know.
Yeah, that was the thing that I felt like was
three movies in.
talking about like things that don't make sense though, is the other one is that like he wishes to be a prince, and then like, and it's like for some reason it's like it doesn't count. So it's just sort of like, did he wish to be a prince wrong? Did he wish to look like a prince?
I know.
It's like eventually Jafar uses it to wish to like just become the Sultan. And it's like, he just is the Sultan now.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's like, why isn't Aladdin just actually a prince?
I know. And it's like, oh, not a prince. It's just Aladdin. And it's like, no, but he wished to be a prince. So he is a prince, you know?
Right, yeah. Right? It's like
just because you changed his clothes again doesn't mean he's not a prince now, right? All you did was change clothes, first of all, Jafar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like one of those things where it's like almost the moment that he wished to be a prince, there should have appeared an entire city that had always known that their prince was a man named Aladdin, and they would recognize him if they saw him, and it would just sort of be like this is the extent of the genie's magic. Like that is what it means you in order to be a prince. Exactly. You have to be a prince of somewhere.
I think that does happen in the live action, right? Like Jasmine's like, I've never heard of this place.
Yeah.
And then like, they look at the map and it's like, well, there it is. Weird.
Well, I'll be.
I've been missing it.
You know, honestly, this was one of the funniest things too, though, when we were preparing for the live action version of the Beauty and the Beast, we had gone through that movie, which also is just completely riddled with plot holes.
Yeah.
And it felt like in the opening 5 minutes of the live action Beauty and the Beast, they were just like, all right, we solved all of them.
Yeah. They're like, listen, we want to tell the story again, and we don't want to hear any of your annoying complaints. So they're all solved. Got it? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We done fixed it. Why don't all the village people remember that they had this?
A king,
yeah.
Right. Certainly one horse ride away where the castle is. He is royal. He is the prince of them. Right.
Right. Yes. And all the people who work inside of Beast Castle, like someone must have been their families.
Yeah, right. Like no one realized that, like, wait a minute, my husband went to work at the castle today and literally never. I saw Downton Abbey. All right, you know,
right.
Those people have families that work at Downton.
Right. Yeah, or just like school teachers when you're a little kid and you're like, wait, you have a life outside of here?
Excuse me.
I'm pretty sure you live here. Where do you sleep?
Yeah,
it must be like over there near the cubbies.
Yeah,
you know, in that spot.
Right. I think at Hogwarts that is what they do. They just sort of sleep like at the castle.
That is like one of those big questions. It's like, what do they just commit their lives to teaching?
I know. Like, it's like, or if you're Snape, you just don't sleep at the castle because you're awake at night, all night, every night. When do you sleep? Oh my god.
Maybe he's like a real hardcore power napper, and it's like, you know, it's just like
Snape is into power napping, right? Like, he's big time.
He's read that, like, I think there's something like, I'm sure I'll get the faction wrong, but like, yeah, like the Navy SEALs or something know how to do this like 7 minute power nap where you like lay on your back at like in front of your couch on the ground, and then like you like elevate your feet and put them at like a right angle so like they're resting on like the surface of the couch. And I believe that if you can fall asleep in that position for 7 minutes, then I guess like the way like the blood flow and everything works, it's supposed to be like super reinvigorating.
Oh,
and you're
man.
Like ready to go again.
I suppose it is extremely possible that Snape, being the potions master, is like has some sort of like sleep invigoration potion, or just like, this is like my power nap potion.
Right.
I'll be like between classes, I'm gonna grab a few Z's and it'll effectively be a full night's sleep. Or alternatively, has potions that make it such that he does not need to sleep. So,
ooh.
Although they've never addressed that, it feels like something that could come up. But I guess it feels magically possible to be manipulating these things.
It does feel magically possible. I think the other possible explanation-ish type thing, we once upon a time made a theory that Snape is just a vampire.
Also that.
And, you know, that's just like, I don't know. Do vampires sleep? Or do they sleep during the day?
They sleep during the day.
They sleep during the day.
Yeah.
So we know that he doesn't sleep during the day. But he does close all the windows when he goes into the Defense Against the Dark Arts room. So
that's true. And he like normally works in the dungeon, so he's like avoiding sunlight.
He is avoiding sunlight, yeah.
And he's often described to look like a bat. Although I think true vampires can transform into like lots of animals, but it's just... like famously a bat.
You know, this is like one of those like massive gaps in my like fantasy lore is I feel like I know astonishingly little about vampires.
Oh, well,
in general.
I want to say that just this week we bought a copy of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Which, oh, yes, we did indeed.
Which I want to say is like the source material for most things vampire.
Okay. So we'll have to leaf through it.
I guess, if you've got some spare time to read a classic.
Yeah. We got one of those like big leather bound ones with the gold leaf pages.
Really fancy.
Super gorgeous.
Yeah.
We'll eventually be able to solve that. Okay, anyway, so yeah. Apparently basically the case in point that we're really trying to make here to bring it full circle is that it had ZipRecruiter been available, Aladdin would have been golden.
Right, yeah.
You know? Instead of diamond.
It seems like, yeah.
Nailed it.
Like Harry, who is gold.
Who is gold.
who is the Philosopher's Stone in human form.
Yes, yeah. We took the trip to the History of Magic exhibit in London once upon a time, and we saw the giant...
The Ripley scroll,
mm-hmm. which is like a real world artifact that was supposedly like the method as to how you create the Philosopher's Stone. And there is this like amazing piece of it where like at some point it like all funnels down and there's these like three orbs that like come together that like are like the final ingredients or something. And one of them is a white orb, one of them is a black orb, and one of them is a red orb.
Yeah.
And like our whole thing was like, I remember like while we were there with like the curator of the exhibit and they were kind of like watching us like ooh and ah over everything. And like we're scrolling down and we're like, wait a second, white, red, black.
Black.
Like, Albus
means white.
Means white. Rubaeus.
Yeah.
Means red. And Sirius black. And they're like
black.
Like Harry's three like surrogate father figures. That step in and it's mm-hmm. like what
Harry is the Philosopher's Stone. I like that was like that. I've even been thinking about that particular one this week because like I think we were talking about it and it's like, oh yeah, Harry like goes on to have these three people like act as father figures in his life. Like, no, it gets even better. Literally the night he is attacked by Voldemort, all three of these people handle him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, like, exactly.
Sirius shows up, then he gives Harry to Hagrid, who gives him to Dumbledore.
And it's like, and literally the thing that he has done, so the Philosopher's Stone has two key characteristics.
Yeah.
And this is like real world. Like Nicholas Flamel was like a actual human being, but yeah. I mean, Philosopher's Stone is not a real thing as far as we know, but they turn objects to gold, and also provide, like the elixir of life. So you can basically just like live forever and ever and ever.
Yes. You can be, someone who lives like a boy who lives.
Like a boy who, who lives. Look at that. It's right there. It's right the there in the name.
Words.
Yeah. And he ultimately becomes master of death in the end of the story, spoilers. But then like in addition to that, like Harry is just so highly associated like with gold, which is just like this mm-hmm. kind of like very unexplained otherwise, like in universe, but like, you know, his Polyjuice potion turns gold, like when his wand acts of its own accord, it shoots golden flames, like during the Battle of the Seven Potters.
He's like the seeker who hunts the golden snitch.
Right. He has a Gringotts vault full of gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. It's like, oh my gosh.
I know.
Harry is the Philosopher's Stone.
Harry is the Philosopher's Stone. It's so crazy. It's one of my favorite theories ever. And it's like one of those just like absolutely, totally canon things in my mind that this was the intent.
Yes. Man, I have no idea how we pulled it off, but the opening segment of today's episode was able to juggle Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and Harry Potter all at once.
Yeah, right. Well, as we established, Aladdin basically just is Harry Potter, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, right. I mean, really, we weren't juggling those.
The Cave of Wonders is the Mirror of Erised. That's the genie is the Philosopher's Stone.
Right.
Right?
Naturally. Naturally. No big deal.
There you go.
Anyway, something transition. Like
that. Transition!
Okay, Jay. So I have like this like interesting state of mind that I find myself in once again, and I'll be curious to see whether or not you have the same plight. But
okay,
as a recording, I believe it is August 25th, which means that football season is just around the corner. Which also means that like this is the time of year. I'm the commissioner for two different leagues, but to communicate with and establish the fantasy football.
Right.
You know, like the organization for the, you know, the rest of the year. And it is so funny because it happens to me every single year in the same way.
Yeah.
But like this time of year will come about and I will sort of like know that it like that I have accepted the responsibility of being the person who organizes and sets, you know, puts all this stuff together. And communicates with the people and collects dues and stuff like that. And I'm every single year, it's like, I will eventually be obsessed with fantasy football and I will have so much fun like researching and digging. And like when I'm like watching the games, like to be honest, at this point in time, like I don't really have a massive allegiance to a specific team so much as I just like enjoy watching like stories unfold and looking for like my players on the field.
Right.
And sort of like seeing like those narratives play out. Which I honestly find to be like a lot more fun because as a kid, it was the complete opposite where I only had a team that I cheered for. And basically, if they weren't playing, then I really, really, really could not be fussed over
any other game that's on.
Yeah. Like I would have buddies who would be like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, it's Sunday, so I'm just going to like watch football all day. I'm like, why?
Is it just working out that every team you like happens to be playing the exact order that the, you know, broadcasts are working out?
Right. Yeah. And that was not the case. They were just similarly interested in just like watching all of football, seeing like what all the different things that were going on. And I was like, I don't get it. So, but anyway, the thing is that I will ultimately, and I know that I will ultimately end up loving doing fantasy football this season. However, at this time of year, before like the ball has been like properly kicked off, I don't care. Like, and it's like, I know that I will care, but I am like having to like overcome this, like otherwise just sort of like, do I even want to do it again this year? And it's like, you do want to do it again this year. But like, I can't trust my memories even. I'm like, maybe it was just a last year thing. Like maybe that ship has sailed and this interest is gone forever and whatever. Do you have this problem? We're in the same leagues.
Yeah.
So.
No, I absolutely do. There's like, I will get like the little emails that you've made like an update that's like, oh, the quest for the Sacred Jorts League has been activated again. That's the name of our league, by the way.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, the quest for the Sacred Jorts. Yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember how the joke has originated, but it has been the name of the league for so long that you know, that's all I know about it now. So I will start getting the emails and I'll be like, the first one, the number one thing that always makes it feel like a chore is that it means it's the time of year where I have to try and log into my Yahoo account again.
Yeah, which I do exactly one
which
time
per
year.
I know, I do it like once and like no matter what, it's been like 7 months since you've logged into this account. Can we confirm that you're real? And you're like, I have to get into this exact one because it's the one associated with the league. And I just, it's like, I think at some point they allowed you to start signing into Yahoo with your Google account.
Yeah. It's like, use Gmail to sign in.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's less of a problem now, but for a while it was like, this is going to be a giant chore. Oh,
I'm really glad that Yahoo just set their pride aside and they were like, you know, at one point in time, everybody had a Yahoo email. Now they don't. We get it, but we still have our grip on fantasy football.
That's right. We still have the premier fantasy football experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got in there and then it's like the draft will be coming up and it's like, I'll start to feel this like pressure of like, I haven't really kept up with anything in the off season at all. And I can't there was a time in my life where I would wake up and I would listen to sports radio on the way to work. And then I would get to work and I would have ESPN radio on in the background all day. And then I would drive home and I would listen to sports radio. And then on the weekend I would watch football. And I felt like I just sort of, I knew it all. I was like, I'm up to date on the players and everything. And I'm like, so like I had to be reminded that Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the Packers this year, you know?
Right.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. I am super up to date on it. Got it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So
I'm like, yeah, it feels like I need to do like a bunch of preparation and homework to like you know, make sure I'm competitive in fantasy football. And like that's going to involve going to a bunch of websites and doing, looking at a bunch of lists and trying to determine what my draft order is going to be. And then like, should I do like some like pre like draft, you know, practice rounds or something like that? I don't know.
See, that's what I did last year. I did like the pre-drafts before going into the actual one. And it was like, I think I did like three of them and I got like A pluses on all three. And then we did ours and I got like a C minus. And I was like, well, there's that.
Yeah. So I remember last year I felt like I had a plan going in and I think I pretty much executed it and it paid off very well.
Yes.
Until the very final game where I was in the Super Bowl against your wife, Alice.
Yeah.
And it all came down to basically like this final Buffalo Bills game of the season.
When
and
you had like Josh Allen.
Yeah. I had like my quarterback and like one of the like wide receivers. So two of my high scoring players usually, and Alice had like the kicker for the other team or something.
Right.
And she was like winning by like a couple points. So it was like, I'm pretty likely to get ahead. I think she might've been ahead by like 10 points or something. So it was like, as long as everything goes mostly according to plan, I should come out ahead.
Right.
But that was the game that famously where like DeMar Hamlin got like severely injured on the field.
And right.
Which was just like the whole, that was like one of those, I couldn't even believe that game. It felt like there was like just like the right like ripple in the air where everyone, no matter what football team you liked, was like, I'm watching the Bills game tonight.
Right.
You
know? Yes.
Like,
yeah.
For some like reason, it was like this. Yeah. It must have been the Super Bowl for a lot of people.
Yeah. I guess. Been,
that
yeah.
could have been the case or whatever. But like, I remember we were sitting at like everyone I knew happened to be watching this game, and it was like then all the spectacle unfolded, and it was, you know, he's all fine now and stuff, but
it was terrifying.
It was terrifying, and the ultimate end result was that they just like canceled that game, and I didn't get any points. So.
I know, yeah.
So and they didn't like, reschedule it, and then there was like, well, this is how fantasy ends for you. It was like, no.
I know. It's so frustrating to have like made it through like the like, you know, that whole season, and sort of like, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like that's like at the beginning of the season, it's like the strategy you want. And then like, and you want to, cause that's the thing too. I think that's how I ultimately feel when I get into it, is that like when I'm in the season and when I'm having fun with it, I'm like super invested. I'm like reading like the breakdowns and I'm looking at like rankings and reading like expert consensus analysis and type of those types of words and stuff are probably on those pages. And I'm like, but I'm always like, I wish at the beginning of the season, I cared as much as I know I will in 6 weeks.
I know.
Because in 6 weeks, that version of me would be way better at preparing for what's about to come the next like week. And anyway, so that's not happening.
But it's like, why? How is it that you get so invested and have so much fun with it, but then end up like feeling like it's not even worth it?
I know.
The moment like it happens. I think I experience this a lot when it comes to like doing like creative things sometimes.
Okay, yep.
Like where I'll be like people will tell me all the time, oh, you're so creative. Like you do all these things. And I'm always like, I don't know about that. And like sometimes I'll like go to work on stuff and I'll feel like I don't have like any approach to it. I don't know what I'm doing, but like after like 2 or 3 minutes of like tinkering around with the thing, it'll be like, okay, well, what if I try this? And then, oh, that's pretty fun. Like, oh, this is good. Okay. Like, well, I can try it this way now. And it's like suddenly like it'll get flowing again.
Right.
It's like, even though it eventually always gets to the point where like I am experimenting and having fun and like trying different things and like arriving at a cool solution, like I never am able to like believe that it will happen again.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's definitely like sometimes you feel like you've caught like lightning in a bottle and you are like, man, well, that was so much fun, but that was just that one time.
Right.
Like, and there's no way that I'll be able to like recapture the magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, it's funny because I've had both schools of thoughts. Like I remember as a kid, occasionally there'd be like an instance like where our younger brother and I would be like out on the trampoline and we would be like, you know, like ninjas and pirates or something like that. And we were ninjas and we were fighting the pirates that like were attacking the trampoline ship. And like, you know, so the whole idea was that it was just like really fun to like jump in the air and do like air kicks and karate chops. And, you know, just like you felt like an action hero, but it was like, we went out there, we created the game, we started playing it. Like we had it in our heads for that hour space of time.
Right.
And then like, you know, sometimes it would be like, oh man, that was so much fun. Like we go inside, we'd be like, you know, talking about it and stuff like that. And then, you know, it'd be like a future day. I'm like, should we try to play like, you know, Pirates and Ninjas again or something? And you go out there and it was just like, we had it that day.
Yeah.
But now it kind of feels like, now it feels like all we're really doing is like repeating the moves that right. we did.
Yeah, you're not
that
like, day. You're not like inventing a narrative or creating something new. It's like, I've like, this is all, it's not, you're not, you're not, you're no longer creating your like
Yeah, exactly. And so like, I think sometimes I would find that like, I would go back out there and I'd be like, yeah, you know, it was like, and the thing is that it's like, it's not like discount the amount of fun that I had the first time. It's just like, I can't find it again. You know, it's like that day, like everything, like just like the stars aligned, so to speak. And it was great. But like now, you know, I don't know if I really want to do it again. But like then on the flip end of things, you know, I feel like there is like these seasonal type of activities, like skiing and snowboarding is another one where, like all throughout the year, like I'll like covet, you know, like the weather, the opportunity, like the weekends, like, you know, it's like, oh, like nothing will be better than like the day when we can go and like get up early in the morning and you stop and you get like the greasy biscuit on the way and you drive the 3 hours to the mountain and you're there for rope drop and you go the whole day. Mm-hmm. And you know, like we always like PBR, you know, is sort of like the mountain beer that we'll drink at the lodge at the bottom and stuff. And like all throughout the year, I'll hold that magic in my head and I will like love it and I will crave it and I will like, you know, like wish for it. And then like a lot of times, like it will become winter and people be like, you want to try and do like a Saturday day trip this weekend? And I'm like, seems like a lot
just
of work.
Like, you know, I've had a long week and I just want to sleep in.
Right. Gotta, it's like, I'm going to be like, if I get up early, I'm going to be exhausted.
Got to find someone to watch Addy and, you know.
So, right. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's so funny though, because I go through circuits like this so frequently, like with different aspects of my life. And I think I even remember as a kid, very frequently it would be the same thing. Like, you know, you'd have a toy that like you'd have so much fun playing with. And then you try to go and like revisit it. And sometimes what would happen is you'd go and revisit and you're like, now I remember why this was so much fun.
Right.
You know, like, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just glad I pulled out this slot car game again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ben, bad example. Slot cars are always fun 1,000% of the time.
It's
okay?
True. It's true. If
we
I had
should
slot
get
cars,
one at the office.
We should get some slot cars at the office. Oh, we could really do it.
We really could though.
Get some little styrofoam trees and stuff, you know?
Make them like race around the walls and things.
Ooh
man, yeah. I'm getting some. It's happening. Dude, this exact phenomenon could happen to me like on an almost daily basis, it feels like.
Okay.
Where like sometimes I will be thinking in my head like about, you know, Saturday where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try out a different or a deck of Pokemon cards or something at the tournament this week.
Okay.
Or something.
Yep.
And I'll be like, okay, and like I've got like a fun idea in my brain and I'll be thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna make sure I bring home all the things I need to make this, and like as soon as the kids go to bed, I'm just gonna like sit at the table and I'm just gonna like put this all together and then it's gonna be ready and it'll be great and I can't wait. And I'll be looking forward to it and I'll be like, okay, I'm at home. I'm like, okay, it's almost time to put the kids to bed. I'm about to be able to work on my cards. And then it's like, I'm putting the kids to bed. It's like we're almost there. I've got my backpack right downstairs. And then I'll like put Luke to bed and I'll like be walking down the stairs. And like as I'm walking down the stairs, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just gonna watch TV. You know? I'll be like barreling towards it with so much enthusiasm, and like the moment it's there, I was like, nah, never mind.
You know what? It's like I've been so excited about this all day, but at this point in time, it's like, is it even worth my effort?
Yeah.
And I wonder what that is. You know, it's like, I mean, this is like probably the central psychology behind like, you know, the grass is always greener, or that constant like, well, if I can just, you know, if I can just like get out of this like one negative situation, like everything else about my life will be perfect.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and then you get out of the situation and you're like, turns out there are other negative things that I can now pay more attention to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's almost like your brain's got like a threshold for it. That like it's like looking to fill. But yeah, no, I definitely like I get it, you know, like I've had this situation so many times in my life. I remember like before moving into my house that I live in now, I was still living in the house you had already moved out that we had started Super Carlin Brothers in.
Yes.
And we had like a little bit of like a landlord situation where it was just kind of like it was definitely like by the end of it getting like really frustrating. And I think people have been there before, you know, it's like when you have like a difficult landlord, it can just be complicated, and it's like you kind of, it's like when you're like living inside of the space, you start to like not feel like you're even at home when you're at home, which is like a really hard
sensation to have. Yeah, it's like safe place.
Yeah, and so I remember like, you know, like the last like, because the closing, I feel like they've gotten so much faster now because the whole real estate market seems like it's in a frenzy, but I think at that point in time it took me like 60 days ish to do closing, and so it was like my last like 2 months that I was going to be living at this other house,
right?
And I remember just like I would drive past my new home like every day on like the way home from like work and stuff like that, and I would always just sort of like drive by really slowly and just try to like soak in as much of it as I could.
Yes.
So like give me like good feelings so that like when I got to, you know, to the old house, I would sort of like be like, okay, but like, but it's there. It's almost there. It's like, as soon as I get to leave, like I won't have to deal with that problem anymore. This like piece of overhead will be gone from my life. Like, you know, I will be able to like finally like focus and relax and like, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of, and to be fair, there was a great grace period for a while where it was like,
right, yeah, like this is, I'm out from that umbrella.
Yes, yeah, but you know, ultimately it's sort of like, I guess, like the reality of things, that it will inevitably find its way.
Right, like there will be other things as
other,
well.
Other stressors.
Yeah, but. Dude, it's so funny that you used to do that. I remember, I think the closing for when the house that Beth and I first moved into, after like I like while we were engaged, like she didn't actually move into the house until after we were like married,
right? Yeah.
But we like bought the house like 3 months earlier, so I just lived there like by myself for 3 months. But the closing, because the house had been on the market for like 6 months, so the other person was like long moved out.
Oh,
so
right.
The closing
right,
was only like 10 days or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I remember during those 10 days, I was like still, I was still working at the concert venue, and there was like one day for lunch. I remember I went and got Subway, and I just went to the house. Like we didn't quite own it yet, but also no one lived there, and I was like, I will own it in 10 days.
Right.
And I remember
right,
there was like this little stone bench in the backyard, and I just sat on it and ate my sandwich. Was like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so like, special.
I know. I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here or not, but who's gonna stop me?
Right. Yeah. Right. No, that's so cool. That's so cool. It's just to be near it, just to touch it, just to be like, oh my gosh, like this is about to be like where I'll be.
Oh my gosh, I will come here all the time.
Right.
Soon.
Oh man, that kind of makes me emotional. That's crazy to think about. Yeah. I love that though. It really is. It was such a thrilling and exciting time. Like going through those stages.
Those stages. Yeah.
It is wild to me to think back even about like I remember filming opening the door to my house for the first time. Like I walked up to the front door, which I never use, which was so funny.
So, right.
Like,
yeah.
I like when I bought the house, I entered through the front door, and it may have been the only time I've ever entered through that door.
It is so funny how some houses are like that, like where you there is an obvious front door and it is the front door of the house, but for some reason, it's like, that's not the one you ever use.
Yeah. No, and it's what is hilarious about that too is that like I've talked about this a lot throughout the years, but like I really like tending to like my yard and like mowing my lawn and like, you know, raking leaves and like, you know, doing like all the edging and like all that type of stuff and everything. So like I do really enjoy making my house look very neat. But one of the things that happened was when I moved in, there was a gigantic tree that was out front and center in front of my house that was like on like that strip on the other side of the sidewalk.
Oh, right.
That the city, I guess, at some point in time deemed like unhealthy or too big or something like that. So they took it down. And when they came through, they, you know, they chopped up the stump and everything, but they just left like all the all like the wood chips there. So like no grass has really grown in. And the only thing that does kind of grow in this particular space is just these like really unsightly, like very quite large, like weeds. Mm. And I weed around my house all the time. However, I have a fence around my house and this is outside of the fence and it's in the front where I never venture to.
Right.
And so the other day I was coming home on a walk like with Addison and I was like pulling up with the stroller and I was like, there's just like a giant cluster of weeds directly in front of my otherwise like, you know, manicured lawn.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, Ben, how have you had this oversight that like anyone else who's looking at your home is looking at it from this angle looking in?
Yeah.
And there's just this huge like plop of weeds.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There is when that for a while there was as I drive down the hill, like the road that like leads to my neighborhood, there's like this big hill you have to drive down, and like towards the bottom there's this bridge, And for like, I don't know, a month, there were these, yes, giant weeds, like, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall weeds growing up, like at the cluster where like the bridge met the road or something.
Okay.
And there's like a little patch of grass there. And they were just like leaning, not quite into the road, but like leaning into your field of view.
Yep.
And
yep.
It was, I mean, they were massive and they were just like, it like clearly this giant eyesore. I'd have to drive past them every single day. And it was like, you know, you're already in the car. You're on like a moving road. There's not even like a stop sign there or anything.
Right.
Like so many times I was like, why? Like I have half a mind to literally just walk down here and pull these weeds.
Oh my gosh.
They're so ugly. It's so annoying. And it feels like every day you're going to hit them. And you're like, why hasn't whoever's supposed to be responsible for this been responsible about it yet?
Right, right. Yeah. And so nobody ever did?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. It's not a problem presently.
Okay.
But maybe they died off their own accord. Or someone finally hit them with their car, or someone finally took care of it. But it was very annoying for
a
long time.
The idea, and I know that this isn't what you mean, but the idea of somebody driving their car to destroy weeds, like feels like such a massive not the way to do it. But that is now what I'm picturing is like somebody else like you who's like driving to work, and like that's it. I'm just gonna kind of veer over and carve right through these weeds, and they are no more.
They're gone.
We're good.
Dead
We're
weeds. Good.
Amazing. Man. Yeah. So anyway, I did go out the other day and pull the weeds in front of my house.
Oh, nice. We'll see you taking care of it. You've done the thing.
To be fair, though, it's literally like 45 steps from my front door.
Yeah.
So it was more embarrassing that I had not done it sooner mm-hmm. than this particular occasion. But it's done. It's done. So in case you're wondering, we're all good. We're all good.
Nice.
Time for another transition.
All right.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading,
board displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, Ben, okay. I'm reaching like these interesting phases of parenthood at the moment, okay. I think.
All right.
So, well, I mean, Luke is, you know, just started going to school and stuff. So we're definitely like on a brand new field of play.
Yes.
It feels like
yes.
Where he's got, you know, he's got to adjust to that and like the new classroom and like a new kind of schedule that will sort of eventually be the routine of his whole life, you know, or for a long time.
Right.
As is the school. But, you know, he's got a, you know, new teacher, new kids and just adjusting to it. And then he's got like the new bed. I think I talked about that last week. So he's going through a bunch of new stuff here, but it is like, it is interesting to me, like when you're in the phase of life where your kids constantly go through a bunch of like different phases with stuff.
Yeah.
Because like, I remember when like they were like very little, those phases could be like a week or something.
Yes.
You know, where you'd be like, okay, I finally got adapted to the new routine. He's waking up at 3 a.m. and at 5 a.m. And you know what? Now that I'm adjusted to it, I think I'm okay. And it'd be like, yeah, that's great. Now it's 4 a.m. and then 5 a.m. And you're just going to be up for that much and you're not getting sleep anymore. And you're like, okay, right. 1 week later, okay, I think I've got it. My body's adjusted to it. No, it's gone again. Changed.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
whatever.
I have this with the, like, with, you know, when you're going through, like, the process of having a child and there's, like, the showers and you're getting, like, all the various, like, bits and bobs that you'll eventually need to, like, care for the child themselves. There were so many objects that, like, for the first 6 months, there was this, like, kind of donut bed thing that we could, like, kind of bring with us, like, to different rooms or whatever.
The
like,
Bobby.
You could, like, set it out, like, you know, on the couch right next to you and she could like sleep in the thing and I was like this is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
Like it is the most valuable thing that I have, you know, that aids in my caring for my child.
Right.
is this circular piece of like,
yeah,
you know,
memory foam fabric thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like nothing is better than this. And then it was like past like 5 months, it's like we never used it ever again and it was just gone from memory completely.
Right.
And it was like, how is it that this was my most vital tool and then one day it simply wasn't.
Right.
Or similarly, like we had like the little sink bathtub that we could give Addie like a bathtub or a bath in our kitchen.
Yes.
Sink.
Yep.
You know, it was like I had it like strategically located. It was in a great spot. It was always dry.
The evolution of the bath. I remember this too. Like we used to have, we had like this little tub, you put it in the sink and you use that for a while. And then eventually we had to like take one of the inserts out and then it was a little bit bigger.
Yep.
And then eventually it was like, okay, now we got to move the whole thing up to the bathtub because now he can like kind of do that. We don't have to do it in the sink anymore. So now you sit in like the tiny tub in the big tub. And then eventually we remove the tiny tub altogether. And now you're just sitting in the bath.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. Although I gotta say, I miss sink bath so much because I could stand next to her and mm-hmm. do everything. And now, we only have one full bathroom in our house, and it's quite small. And there's like the toilet is right next to the bathtub.
Yeah.
So like, in order to like sit in there, you're sort of like you're on like kind of like on your knees on the tile floor directly in front of it, and like it's just such an uncomfortable like position.
Oh no, dude! You got to get the We had this thing. It was like literally for this exact. It was like for giving kids baths. It was like a knee pad, and then this other little thing that like you. It was like a pad for your elbows that sort of like you draped on top of the side of the tub.
What?
Yeah. And so you could like you and like it was like one of those things that was like, how big of a deal is this? And it was like,
it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Oh, definitely get the knee pad, elbow pad,
okay,
resters.
I need you to mirror me a link ASAP.
Okay, I
because
will.
This is my least favorite thing
oh,
about
no.
bath time,
yeah.
which is otherwise completely adorable.
Yeah, no, I will definitely hook you up with that because that is a game changer.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay, good to know. I should have asked you sooner. I don't know why I didn't.
Yeah. But you're right, now I have the tiny tub that used to be the sink tub and it just sits in the linen closet because we kept it anticipating needing more kids, but then the twins have gone through the entire cycle now, and it's like, now we can just get rid of this tub, right? Like, it's just gone. It's just, it's, we can, it can leave.
Yeah, it can leave. Right. I believe it can leave.
Anyway, the point is, for a long time, when they're like kids, the phases come and go, and the nature of the phases is that they are different kinds of inconvenient.
Okay,
like,
yeah, you know, sure, sure.
It's like, it's changed. And it's not really more convenient. It's just inconvenient in a different way.
Yep.
And then eventually you reach a stage where it's like every stage, it actually, they're like really progressing. So it's like every stage actually is like, you've cleared this thing. Now it is actually more convenient overall.
Right.
Like,
okay.
You now sleep through the whole night.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. So our version of this was, you know, at some point in time, you know, you were feeding every so many hours, which meant that like through the course of the night, Allie and I would like divide up who got like the first 6 hours of sleep, you know, because, and so it'd be like, you know, my night, your night. And it was because it was like, you know, you'd feed at like 10 and then again at 2 and then again at 6 or whatever.
Right.
And I remember like when we were able to like peel back the, you know, like middle of the night feed, and you're like, we'll feed them in the morning, and then you'll do like the dream feed at like 10 p.m.
Right.
And it was sort of like before the dream feed was no big deal. Like that was the easy one. It's like, I haven't even gone to sleep yet. So like, you know, I can just go up there and like
go
do
up
that.
There. Then you're going to do the middle of the night, and then I'll just get up early.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you miss that middle of the night feed, all of a sudden, like the dream feed, like that 10 p.m. feed, you're like, oh man, like it's been nice that she's been sleeping for a few hours, but like there's still more work to do before I go to bed. And it's like what used to be the easy feed because you hadn't gone to bed yet was now sort of like the like, all right. Although again, to be fair, like I'm saying this as if it was like a huge, like, I loved it. She was so cute. Like she's like asleep and eating, and it was adorable. So anyway, but continue. I feel like I keep interrupting you.
No, it's totally fine. So yeah, I was like, I felt like, you know, every time you climbed a stair, it was like, you could like pick up a card and be like, these are the ways your life are easier now. This is what this level of stairs will look like.
Right.
It's like, great. I feel like I'm reaching a point now where it's like, you're still going up the stairs. So it's still forward progress, but it's like you pick up the card and it's like, and you don't sleep good again. You're like, no, wait a second. No.
Wait,
we left that one behind. And it's like, no, it comes back. you're still going up. It's still good, but this thing is back now. And you're like, that doesn't feel like it should come back though. It felt like everything for a while was leading away from this. And like, yeah, you'd think that, but actually now your kid's going to school. So he has what's called like anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's making him not sleep good for a little while. So you're not going to sleep good again. And you're like, okay. So we didn't go backwards. No, still good. Still going up. Still great. Still progress. This feature's back.
Right. The thing that it has dawned on me, absolutely. So like at this point in time, we sleep through the night, which is amazing. But like, I remember nights of my life where I would like wake up and I was either sick, or I don't know if people have these. I feel like it was like a big thing in our household. We always called them growing pains.
Oh yeah. No, I think that's a real thing.
Is it a real thing? Okay.
I remember like my, you know, limbs hurting.
Yeah. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night, like my shins or like my arms would like be physically like they would feel, as if they were like a deep bone bruise type of sensation, but like it's like you would wake up to the feeling of the pain.
Yeah.
And it was usually solved with something as easy as like Motrin is what I remember, but I don't know if that's right. Yeah. Anyway, but just like some type of mild painkiller.
Motrin's just ibuprofen. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. But the thing is that it's like, as I've gotten older and as Eddie has started sleeping through the night and everything and all is well on that front, I'm like, I know that I remember nights where I would wake up not feeling well and just be like, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mom.
Right, yes. You know, exactly.
Like, it's like you're like kind of like testing the air a little bit as a kid because you're like, you know enough that you're not supposed to be loud at night while everything is quiet. But also it's like, I need you, like I can't leave my bed because of circumstance, whatever is happening to me right now.
Right.
And I need you to hear me from across the house.
Exactly. So and, here we go.
Yeah. And so Mom would always come in and you know, like whatever, be amazing. And you know, solve whatever issue I was having. But it occurs to me, I'm like, the fact that I remember that means that I'm not through the woods.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So I feel like, yeah, it's like, I think, I don't want to say like Luke has anxiety, like he's, you know, suffering like the way an adult would have with anxiety or something.
Sure.
I think he's just anxious about school. Yeah. And it's like, that's totally fine. And I totally expect this phase to pass, but it doesn't mean it's not been like a 4 week long period or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, maybe like 50% of nights like is like up for some reason or other because he couldn't sleep because of whatever.
Right.
Because he's like worried about it or things are different or something's going on in his brain or it's like manifest, you know, like. I think that is the ultimate source, is like the ultimate, like the total change of lifestyle,
right.
But like it'll manifest in other ways. Like, you know, I saw a scary video or something and it's like, it was, you know, by scary video, like, I don't know, not really scary, but that's the way it's manifesting right now.
Yes. Yeah. No, I get that. And I think that that's probably like the big thing too with anxiety in general, is that like the way in which it can turn innocuous things into less innocuous things as
right.
well, where it's like, oh man, okay, now I have to fear this thing too.
Right.
Yeah. So I can actually relate to little Lukester on that one.
Yeah. So anyway, that's basically just my interesting, I don't know, the phase I'm going through. I feel like for a long time there, it seemed like, yeah, everyone's so good at sleeping. We go through the night and suddenly I feel like I'm like baby sleep again here. I'm like up every night for some reason or another. And it's like, we were supposed to be past this.
I know. Yeah. And I do feel for you completely, because I do know that you always have the struggle of like when you're awake, you can't fall back asleep either.
It can be hard. Well, then I've also, I mean, a couple of weeks ago in the pop, you'll recall my glute injury, which is still present.
Yeah.
It is significantly better, but like definitely during the night is the worst time for it, where like I'm not moving. So it's like getting a bunch tighter. So like that can be more difficult, or, you know, I'm at this like weird stage of the healing where it's like, oh yeah, for a while the idea of sitting down, impossible, laughable for more than 3 minutes. Now it's like, yeah, you can, it's not so bad. You can definitely sit down for like a while and, you know, record your podcast, but it's bearable enough doesn't mean it was still a good idea, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, no, 60 minutes from now it's gonna hurt a lot more than if you didn't sit for 60 minutes, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, so I can see where that would be an additional challenge in the scheme of things, because you yourself are like, I really need my body to be healing.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
And that is not always exceptionally easy.
Not all the time.
I will say that while we were in Vermont you know, a couple weeks ago now, one of the things that did happen, and I did start to feel your plight in such a massive way, which I have always, I jokingly been unempathetic towards, because I was always jealous of the fact that you could like wake up and just be awake, because my problem is the exact opposite. Like most of the time, like I can wake up to like a trumpet being played in my face.
Yeah.
And if it stops, then I will be back asleep in like 4 seconds.
Right.
Like I'm like, no big deal whatsoever. Pardon the interruption. Like I'm all good. I'm mm-hmm. back. You know, let me pick up my dream right where I left off. Everything will be fine. However, I do think that there's like a new gear as a parent that you find where, while we were in Vermont, every night, Addie was sleeping, you know, like in a new location, and she was also sleeping in the same, you know, physical room as us and everything. And she would wake up in the middle of the night every single night, and each time that she woke up, I would be very much awake and
yeah.
would struggle to fall asleep for yeah. multiple hours. And it was like, well, that's just okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So I did think about you on multiple occasions there. I was like, this must be what Jay does.
This must be what it's like.
Maybe I should text him right now and just see if he's up.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, you awake? I'm like, I am.
I am. What are you doing?
I'm watching YouTube on my phone.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's amazing. Ugh. Okay. Well, we got one last transition left in us.
I mean, go for it. What's dude.
The transition. Okay, Jay, so I think we got like one last bit of like kind of fun news that I feel like we can possibly discuss. Possibly fun. This is like the most mysterious thing that I feel like has happened to us, you know, sort of like in terms of cool opportunities possibly related to what we do here.
Yes.
At Super Carlin Brothers.
Right.
We have, of course, in the past talked a lot about some of our really cool experiences where we've been invited down, you know, by Disney to go experience like a new attraction that's been opening or something. And right now we're sort of amidst like what otherwise feels like just such grand mystery. Like we don't know the shape of what's actually happening at all, but like it's adding to the fun of it tenfold in my personal opinion, because
yes.
I'm like, this is, you know, when you were a kid and your anticipation for like Christmas is right around the corner, yeah. and you're sort of like, oh my gosh, there's going to be like presents mm-hmm, and gifts mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. And you know, like excitement and fun and like, you know, yeah. mom and dad will all be in our pajamas. Like there's like all that like glory about it. And like, you don't know what to expect. You know, it's rare as an adult, I feel like, to get to like recapture like that kind of sensation.
Yeah. And we've been sucked into this, like, oh, you're right. This like Disney attraction, like semi-cycle where like it seems like we're on the list of people they could invite to a thing,
right?
But like
right.
they seem to have a pretty big list, and you maybe your name's gonna get called or drawn or not.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, so like I remember like last year, like we did the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Yes, yeah, thing. We got to experience that.
Yeah, or the Halcyon, and that was super cool, super fun. And like while you're down there, people are talking like, oh yeah, and then later this year we're opening up Guardians of the Galaxy, and you're like, okay, oh my gosh, wow, does that mean maybe what if we get, are we going to get to come down and do Guardians of the Galaxy? And right. it's like, and then it like came and it went, and you're like, oh, I guess we didn't get the call for that. But then you're like, okay, now Tron is opening later this year though. And then like all of a sudden you got the email and it was like, what?
Oh, no way!
Yeah, so that was like so exciting. And it's like, but those are like rides at the park. And so while we were down there for Tron, there was like, you know, you're sort of talking to the other people who've been invited down there to like be a part of the event and stuff. And like, I would say there was like maybe 25% of the people had like also recently been on a similar event with Disney aboard one of their cruise ships, like
the Disney Wish,
where they yeah. were like, you know, out there like on the test drive for it or something. And it yeah. was like, I gotta tell you something, like going on a cruise seems like that is the jackpot, you know.
Yeah, of like potential opportunities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we sort of like whenever these emails come about, like I think that they sort of like know, or like they're even just having fun on their end of the spectrum, and I mean, who knows? But we got an email that was like, you know, Disney is unveiling like the new Disney Treasure cruise line, you know, on September 30th, I believe. So this, by the time you're listening to this, it would have already happened.
August 30th.
August 30th. Yeah. I'm sorry. August 30th. Correct. Yeah. yeah. So by the time you're listening to this, this will have already happened. But it was like, would you be willing to like RSVP to tune in for like the virtual reveal of the new event? And, you know, we were like, yeah, of course. Like, this seems yeah. super cool. Like,
great.
We were like, let's see. And as a family, we are currently planning a Disney cruise anyway. So
on our own. Yeah.
We will get to see what one of these is like.
We're going on the Wish.
We are going on the Wish, yeah, in early 2024. Cannot believe that this is the year that is upon us. Anyway, though, so the exciting / anticipating moment that we can, like, I feel like bring people along the ride for is, like, you know, this morning we got a shipment that arrived, and it was sort of like associated with like this reveal. So like all we had known was that we were RSVP'd for like a virtual event. So like as far as we were concerned, it's like this could just be like a press event type thing. Like, hey, look, new thing. Here's the details. Here's how many people it can hold. Here's where it's going. Here's yeah. where it's going from.
Look what's on board.
Exactly. Like, you know, if you're interested, like, you know, call whatever. So we get this mysterious package in the mail, and you open it up, and there's like this like letter that like you read through, and it's like all in character and everything. And it's like this like super embossed, you know, like thick piece yeah. of like cardstock. And it's like, oh, this is really like official
Very
feeling.
Nice.
And you flip it over, and on the back, there's like a set of clues where you have to like answer like riddles. And then like at the bottom of it, there's sort of like this like, okay, use the third letter from the first word, use the second letter yeah. from the, you know,
get your passcode. And then it's like, oh, and one of the clues references the treasure, you know, like, you know, you'll have to open the treasure box that came yeah. with us. And you're like, there's like this little wooden box, and the little wooden box has a lock on it. And like, where's the key? And it's like, there's a hidden compartment on the box, and you have to find the compartment and get the key and unlock it, and then open a treasure map, and then use the treasure map to get the clues.
Right. Exactly. It's yeah. like, answer the final question. So like, you know, it's just like cool little wooden yeah. ornate box. It's like, it's just beautiful. You know, it's got like the little like Disney cruise crest on it and everything. And so now we're just like, so like we go through the whole process, we open up all the stuff, and like, you know, we're finding out, and it's like, tune in on August 30th. And we're like, wait a second, but we knew about August 30th.
We knew about August 30th. Yeah.
But I am like, my interest is like at boiling point.
I know.
Right now.
I'm like they sent us this like whole treasure box thing. Like, this is a tremendous amount of effort on their part to like custom make this treasure box and this map and send it to a bunch of people just to invite, like to give you a password to go to a website, to watch a video, to invite you to an event. And it's like, you already invited us to this exact virtual event. And it's like, did you do all this because like there's like something else come, like, are we gonna get to go on the boat? Tell me, are we going to the boat? And you're like, okay. But then you're like looking it up and it's like, this is, it seems like the thing you invited us to is like semi-public knowledge. So it's like, it's not like only the, like,
yeah, if you know, you're like, if you follow like the Disney like tourism blogs and stuff like that, yeah, like, you know, it's like the information is just available. Like, it's not like we are uniquely invited to like this virtual event. Like, right, anybody can watch it,
right? So it's like, do you just want us to promote the virtual event, or are we gonna get to go on the boat, man? Come on.
Like, like the question. It's like, I'm like, I don't want to ask the question because it seems so cool, seems though. Like it seems
you went
so
to
cool.
A lot of effort, like.
I'm just on the edge of my seat. That's all. So it's like I just wanted to invite people to be on the edge of the seat with us because it's like there's so much like mystery surrounding it. So hopefully this isn't like one of those things where it's like we talk about it now and then you know, like it's like
I either
can't say anything about it or anything. But
it's I don't want to. I feel like I'm setting myself up for like disappointment or something. I don't want to be excited because I don't know and no one's promised me anything.
Right.
No one's said anything, but like I know people got to do an event like this for the last one you did, and it seems like maybe somehow we've been included on the list for the next one, and like I just are we going on the boat?
So
like, or is it just a stream? It's fine.
It's just cool. Fine. And the cool thing, and the great news is, the exciting and fascinating part is that we're going on a Disney cruise
either way with
the families and together on the horizon anyway. So it's like the great news, I feel like that is like my absolute, like, you know, it's like no matter what, we're going on one of these. Like, yeah, this is still happening and I'm very excited about it. It's gonna be so much fun. You know, like it's just gonna be really cool. So anyway, so that is like the piece that we have so far.
Stay tuned
and hopefully there will be more information to come. we'll keep you posted. But otherwise, guys, I think that we have reached the official time for today.
Actually, as we're recording this, we need to sign off because we're about to go hop over to the live pop Q&A for the month of August.
Yeah, the month of August. So this we do a live Q&A every other month for the pop associated with Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/popcornculture. So
where
if
you can
like,
sign up for Jazzy J for your ear hole pleasure.
Oh, you brought it back full circle. Full ear hole circle.
It's like, was that your brain?
So if you would ever be interested in lobbing some questions at Jay and I, we would be happy to answer them. It's a lot of fun. So it's a cool stream where you can come on and chat alongside us, and we'll also have like a document with all the questions that people have pre-submitted as well. So really great time all around. We're about to leave here to go hop on that. So otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.